So my big impossible right now.
So my impossible is...
My impossible.
The impossible.
I think the impossible...
An impossible dream that I think we could pull off one day would be...
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories. Today's guest is Dr. Shairee Turner, a mom, a holistic well-being advocate, and a human being committed to addressing the mental health epidemic. She is also the chief health officer at the Crisis Text Line, a 24/7 free, high-quality, text-based mental health support and crisis intervention line. Their mission is to be at the intersection of empathy and innovation, promoting well-being for people wherever they are. Shairee is also the co-host of Nike's acclaimed No Off-Season podcast. This is Shairee's story. Tell us a little bit about the organization you serve and your role there.
Yes. So I am the chief health officer at Crisis Text Line. I support and lead our public policy and advocacy team. And Crisis Text Line is a free 24/7 mental health support and crisis intervention organization where we provide these services solely by text. So text, web chat, we are powered by incredible volunteers. So we've trained over 60,000 volunteers in active listening, in empathy, in de-escalation. And they are supervised 24/7 by mental health professionals who are our staff at Crisis Text Line. So we always say a crisis to you is a crisis to us, which means that we can serve, you know, anyone of any age with any situation. Does not have to be suicide, anything from bullying, trouble with homework, to those who are on the brink of suicide. We really consider it an honor to be able to work with these amazing volunteers who take our training and support texters every day.
People who know you best will describe you as?
Someone who helps people. An advocate, whether it's for mental health, physical health, an advisor, a confidant, a systems fixer, I think. So no matter what the issue might be, I'm always willing to put my mind to it, to put my energy into helping others. So whether it's, you know, a mental health situation, a physical health situation, a career or well-being situation, people really know that they can turn to me in their time of need, either for themselves or their family. And I think they also know that I'm someone who loves my family, and I go all out for my husband and my children so that they can be the best version of themselves.
That's great. What about today's version of yourself would impress your 10 years younger self?
Yes. Wow. I hope everything. I aspire to be 10 years better. I mean, a decade is a long time to evolve, mm-hmm. right? So I would say over the past 10 years, I've come to a place of calm and presence, and like really being present in spaces. So not distracted or pulled towards worry or thoughts of the future. Over the past 10 years, I've really come to understand what it means when we say like all things happen for a reason. And I've found a peace in that understanding. And I think that's really important because it keeps you centered and focused and with the people who are in your space in a given moment. Mm-hmm. I also feel like I've become much better in living into my boundaries over the past 10 years, right? So not in a way that like pokes or harms other people, but in a way that's really matter of fact, kind of that clearly defines like, okay, this is okay for me and my family, or this is not okay. And you know, be that as it may for you, this is sort of where I'm drawing the line. And that's empowering. So I definitely feel like an empowered version of myself over these past 10 years.
What's your most unpopular music opinion?
I love this question. I don't think there really is one. Like, music is about expression. And for me, that can be any and all genres. And I can think back to favorite songs from all the different seasons in my life. And each one kind of helped define who I was at the time. Interestingly, just sort of tying it to Crisis Text Line, our volunteers or our texters tell us that music is one of their top coping strategies. And when you think back, when you think about our childhood, when you think about, you know, I raised teenagers myself, like, music is a space that you can go to where someone else is giving voice to your feelings with passion, right? So there's no wrong music choice in my mind.
That's great. Which book, poem, song has said words that you couldn't say until you heard it that day?
These are all great questions. For me, what came to mind when you ask this question is The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And it wasn't that I couldn't say it, but it was more that at the time that I read his book, I didn't have those words, right? So it's about just going with what's presented to you, taking those big leaps into the unknown. And he articulated that through his life story in a way that truly resonated with me. And actually it was one of the reasons reading that book really quite spurred me to return to Crisis Text Line for the second time, because I've worked there now twice. But it was the belief that I could make a difference and that everything I needed, even in moments of uncertainty, would manifest.
Beautiful. When was the last time you danced so hard that your feet were sore?
Yes. So I could not remember this moment specifically, which honestly means I need to get out more. But it would have to have been in the past few years with some of my friends from Stanford, because they are my college friends and, you know, they're the heart and soul of those sore footed moments, among others.
What gets an undeserved bad reputation?
Yes. So I would say challenging experiences, right? So we tend to take them at face value and not see them as a part of our journey, right? So they're a part of our education and evolution in this lifetime. And if you just get caught up in, you know, woe is me, this is such a horrible, challenging situation, you miss the learning, you miss the opportunity, you miss, you know, the pattern, right? So the universe will present you with, you know, what you need to know. And if you don't catch it the first time, it will swing back around with more force the second time. And it's really asking you to have a different response to a similar situation. So those challenging moments, if you can step back and breathe and relax and see them for what they are, can actually be true points of growth and learning. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite thing that someone you admire does?
So I admire boldness, and I admire living into your purpose and not caring what others think, knowing that you only have one life to live and not being afraid to live it, and the ability to say no clearly and kindly, I think, is an art, because it means that you are very clear about your yes.
Tell us about your impossible.
So my impossible, I had to find a way after the suicide of a very close friend, someone who was like a brother to me. It was very early in my career. I was still in residency. And in retrospect, it shaped the decisions that I made moving forward. So it was the first time I came face to face with the true fragility of life. And ultimately it spurred me to shift my career path in medicine so that instead of just doing primary care, I started looking into and understanding childhood trauma. It influenced my decision to move to Florida to become the first chief medical director of the Florida Department of Juvenile Justice. And ultimately, it years later spurred my decision to join Crisis Text Line, where I could truly help others at a larger scale, where we can, you know, build and teach empathy and help others who feel like suicide is their only option, right? Because it's a loss of impulse. It's a loss. It's a moment in time when people feel at their lowest, when they feel they're lonely, you know, that they are alone. They feel the most lonely. And if people know that there's someone even to reach out to by text, that can change a life. That can be a, you know, shift a trajectory and keep someone with us. So that was a true moment in time for me.
What would be the name of the music album representing the next era in your life?
I hope it would be like Can't Stop, Won't Stop, right?
Yes.
because that's how I feel, you know, chapters, right? I see life in chapters and each chapter builds upon itself. And you should get to the point where it's like, you know, all the barriers are gone. There's nothing holding you back. You know, can't stop, won't stop. What's next? Bring it on.
What are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable at the time?
So this was a tough question for me because I try not to see insurmountable, right? I try to see small steps kind of that are manageable that can get you to the place you want to go, right? So opportunities for growth and just kind of staying on that path to get there. Because again, if you see insurmountable, in my mind, it means you're going to stop. But if you see it as, all right, this is just a larger challenge, how do we break it down into smaller pieces? Ultimately, you'll look up and say like, hey, I'm up this mountain and I'm actually over the top.
Was there somebody in your life that helped you have that framing?
Oh my goodness. My husband's always, like you can do anything type person, right? Like there's no mountain too high and don't talk yourself out, you know, of an opportunity or of a challenge. He'll say, you know, you only get one vote, right? You can't downvote yourself. So
that's great.
he has a great outlook on life.
I'm guessing I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Was there a point during your journey when you felt like giving up?
There actually was. There was a time I was in my early 20s. It was during my medical residency and I was just working so many hours, you know, back then the schedule for residents was still outrageous, sleep deprived. And I really, like, I honestly felt, you know, I was in Boston, it was cold, it was the winter, and I never felt like that lost or alone before. And, you know, I was like, I either need to leave or die. And I fortunately, I did neither. And I pushed through because I was determined, but it really was that like low space of like, is this, you know, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I in the right place? Like, if I'm in the right place, why do I feel so low, so tired? But, you know, it truly speaks to like the effect of sleep deprivation on mood and how it's so important for us to make sure that we're sustaining our caregivers, our healthcare workers, right? Like, can't work them to the bone either.
Right. What's one thing you learned about yourself while going through your impossibility?
Yes. So that, there's a chapter for everything in life. You know, both the good and the bad shall pass, right? So when we say this too shall pass, both the good and the bad. So you really have to stay present for the good and know that you will make it through those challenging situations. And knowing this, I think, can really help you to withstand almost anything. And I learned about the collateral beauty sort of that comes with all heart-wrenching events. And with that, you know, the power of gratitude. Yeah, so I mean, learning that there's collateral beauty with every situation, right? And if you take a moment to be, to find those spaces of gratitude, it can be truly empowering.
Mm-hmm. What's your advice for folks to use their fear of inaction? Well, I'm going to say that again. What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction and use the fire in their bellies to bring their impossible to life?
Well, to me, worry and fear mean that we think we can control the future, right?
Yes.
Worried about something that's about to happen, then it means that I believe I have a power to change it, and we don't, not always. So sometimes fear can feel paralyzing, and sometimes it just takes putting one foot in front of the other, just taking those first steps. But I would say also, volunteering is an amazing way to free yourself from your fear, because there's nothing more empowering, more uplifting than giving to others, right? So allowing yourself to be open to help someone else in need, and, you know, and volunteering doesn't have to be always highly architected and formalized, but it can be just an act of kindness for another person who's in need. And again, like tying it back to our volunteers at Crisis Text Line, it's amazing because the work, the training that they go through, they've told us now that most of them feel that it provides them with this skill to support someone in need of mental health, whether it's on the platform or in their communities or in their relationships or teachers with children and parents with kids. So it brings, you know, a skill to their lives that they didn't always have. And I truly believe that we can always find a gift that's reciprocated through volunteering. Mm,
that's a great point. What do you look forward to the most in the next 12 months?
Yes. So getting back to active living, I actually had to have a total hip replacement from an old track injury. And I put it off because I was thinking, you know, I'm too young for a surgery like this. I'll go to PT, I'll get massage, I'll do all the things. But really, I wound up living with pain for over a year. And I just watched kind of my world get smaller and smaller in terms of what I was capable of doing, you know, when we went on trips or when I, you know, went and visited my kids in college, like how much walking I could do was limited. And so I went ahead and I did it about 2 weeks ago, and it turned out well, but it really made me appreciate what I had prior to the period of pain and but it's given me the patience to now do the rehab to make sure that I can get back to 100%, because I honestly think, like, you know, physical therapy is an exercise in boredom management, right? Because it's just rote, it's doing it over and over again, and you're not going to see benefits for weeks, right? So you have to stick with it. So it's about like boredom management and a good playlist, because you just have to kind of power through. So in the next 12 months, I look forward to getting close to being physically the 100% back to where I once was.
What's your next impossible, my friend?
Well, I stand in the ready. Yeah. I stand in the ready. So that's kind of how I live my life, right? So whether it's any type of life change, a career move, I will know when it happens, right? I'll know what the next impossible is when it presents myself, presents, I will know what the next impossible is when it presents itself to me, because I trust my instincts and that I know that I will know how it feels to surrender to the next adventure, to surrender to the next impossible, because life really is that journey. And, you know, I believe it and I'm grateful for each moment that I have. And I hope that, you know, when the next impossible comes along, I'll see it for what it is and just take that leap. Mm.
Who's someone else who should share their story with us?
Oh my goodness. So I had so many thoughts here.
Good.
I have, so Nicole Terry is a friend of mine who's a professor at Florida State University, and she does work around reading and literacy and is just amazingly innovative on especially communities of color, bringing reading to those communities and empowering those teachers. My brother, Kai Turner, who's like done this amazing transformation from being, you know, in computer science, in design, in NFT, in crypto, but now kind of swinging around to like recognizing he has a young, his first child is my niece is two, and just in having a child, seeing the connection between the emerging connection between AI and mental health. So is kind of reconfiguring, rebranding himself to go forward and get a master's in mental health counseling so he can connect the two, you know, his AI, computer science tech side with his, you know, philosophical side with this new interest in mental health. So he's of interest. And then we'll just run the list. And
yeah, let's go. I love this.
My husband, Jimmy Davis, is an electrical engineer, but one of those people who just takes deep dives in all areas and is very committed to wellness and longevity and how to kind of, you know, there's Peter Attia, there's all these physicians who are now in the longevity space, but that is not, you do not see physicians of color who really have taken that on. So he is kind of taking those learnings and sharing with basically anyone who will listen, you know, at this point, our family and friends, just around the simple things that you can do to improve not just your lifespan, so your number of years on this earth, but your health span with it, so that those years are really years of value and of good health.
I have been concerned for many years, pre-pandemic, when I think a lot of us got to a similar mindset, that we stigmatize mental well-being and we don't have any challenge about going and getting help if we do something bad to our leg or our arm or our heart. And when it comes to this beautiful brain of ours, we treat it so differently, and it really isn't different. And I think what we've learned in the pandemic, which I'm thrilled about, is that the connection to overall well-being has to begin with mental well-being. So it's been powerful, and just quite frankly, personally, I've learned so much volunteering. You know, one of the things that you go through in the training is this idea that you don't give answers, and that's really hard. As a leader, it's something that I try to remember, which is that asking questions versus giving an answer is always better. But that's tricky. And so that I've learned so much through this process. And the last thing I would say is that I think on my darkest days, being able to volunteer is a really powerful way to get recentered.
Tell us more about the magic behind the method.
There's a host of things. I think, first of all, for this next generation of humans, being able to text is more in alignment with the way that at least my kiddo communicates. And so I think it reaches people where they are and meets them in a place that they feel more safe. And then I think there truly are safety and even, you know, just shame reasons that texting can be so powerful, because if you're trying to pick up a phone, you've got to find a place to be able to do that, to do it where maybe others won't hear you. And I think that for those that are reaching out via text, it's a much easier and more accessible place to be able to have that interaction. I think that in organizations, when you start talking about topics that have a lot of shame connected to them, there's a freeing ocean of trust that floods in. And I think it's really important for people to know that, one, we care about their mental well-being, that this is a safe space to talk about having a therapist or finding a therapist or having a really rotten day or week or year. And I believe that you build trust in an organization and you build sanctuary that can make your organization a space that people want to stay in.
Which song out of the many you would share today that has said words that you couldn't say?
I'm going to go with Dave Matthews Band, not surprisingly. And you may be surprised with the song that I choose. It's entitled Why I Am. And it connects to this episode as well in some ways, because it is a tribute to a band member that died. And I think it is about both grief and the celebration of human beings and who they are. And this question of why I am is a very important one, I think, to our well-being in terms of thinking about our purpose and bringing that purpose to life.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.